bless you.
I need you, Lord, right now.
lift my hands and bow my knees and worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you right now. That's in your heart. Sing it again with me. Say, I need you, Lord. Say, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Through all of my trials, Lord, I need you. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Only need one yes from you, Lord. I lift my hands and bow my knees and worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you right now. Lift your voice, say, we need you, Lord. Hey, we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. Things uncertain, you are for sure. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. I lift my hands and bow my knees and worship at your throne. We need you, Lord. We need you right now. This is the last time you get to say it. Sing it to the Lord. Say, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. When the doctor says, not good. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right
opportunity we have to gather. We ask, oh God, that you would minister to our inner man on tonight through your word. Bless those that are here, those that are, God, unable to make it, those that are joining us online. I want to remember Sister Michelle's mother, God, who had a fall there today. And Lord, we just pray that you would just help her through this time, that you bring healing to her body. Those that are working with her, oh God, give them wisdom and knowledge just to be able to help her, Father, accordingly. Just ask, oh God, that you would stabilize her. We know, Lord Jesus, that even though she might be up in age, there is still no limit and no age limit to your healing. So we pray, God, that you would move by your spirit upon her need. Just in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. In the presence of the Lord, we will turn in our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 8. Amen. And for the sake of time, I won't read the whole chapter, but we'll read maybe the first, let's see here, first 10 verses, then I'll skip down to verse 18, I believe. The Bible says, and it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And the sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel and to Ramah and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Verse 9 says, now therefore hearken unto their voice, albeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. Skipping down to verse 18. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man unto his city. Now, we were looking at this last week, and we kind of left this quote from the Spoken Words Original Seed. If you just scroll up, maybe just one page there. It's right before adoption. And yeah, there you go, right there, underlined part. Brother Branham had made the statement, you can only serve God as you do and believe the servants that God sends. You can only serve God on earth as God's servants that sent on earth by divine inspiration interprets the word to you. When you look at that from this scripture, God had a prophet there in the days of Samuel being that prophet, and God would reveal his word to his prophet and give instruction to the people. Even when it came to their battles, God gave them instruction through a prophet. There was, many a times where God would show them how to operate in battle, right? And with a little later on in scripture, in Kings, when we get into there was a time where, I think it's the king of Syria, I believe it was, that was planning to come against Israel. And there was a prophet in the land of Israel revealing the secrets that the king was sharing in his tent and pretty much preparing the children of Israel for victory. So when God revealed things through his prophet, that was like the ultimate way to receive instruction from God. But what we find here in the scripture is that they rejected God's best plan, right? They rejected God's best plan and said that they wanted to be like everybody else, right? And this is really, I would say this is a sad day in Israel's history. The other thing, Samuel took it so personal that he said they rejected me. And it wasn't that they were rejecting Samuel, they were rejecting the Lord as their king. Now, I mentioned I wanted to kind of turn a corner with this, and we'll scroll down to page 8 there for you on your document. The Smyrnian Church Age, we will pick up because Brother Branham kind of brings this thought forward for our day so we can see how this fits us. It says, they come to this Samuel. They said, make us a prophet. Make us a king. And the Lord told him that he rejected that idea. Just exactly what he rejected here with organization. Just like he rejected that, he rejects organization. And he goes on and says, he don't reject organism, but organization. And what Brother Branham's talking about is denominational systems. God actually rejects that, right? God is not for that. Says he don't reject organism, but organization. Organism, we have to have that, but organization, we don't have to have because it draws lines. He goes on to say this. He says, we are so-and-so. Are you a Christian? I'm Methodist. Are you a Christian? I'm Baptist. That don't mean no more than a pig in a pen. That has nothing to do with it, not at all. A Christian. I asked a girl one night on the platform, are you a Christian? She said, well, I give you to understand I burn a candle every night, like that had anything to do with Christianity, right? So what people hide behind is the organization, you know, or the denominational name, but that does not represent Christianity. Praise God. Just because you go to church don't make you a Christian. Amen, right? It takes more than just going to church. It takes a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And he says, another man said, well, I'm an American. Oh, my. And people don't realize that God has rejected America. We are not a Christian nation. We're not. And I mean, no matter what people might want to tell you, we're not a Christian nation anymore. Rejection took place years ago. And even Brother Branham, when he was on Earth, he was saying that's why there was an earthquake that struck Alaska, because the Americans had rejected Christ. They rejected Christ, bottom line, amen. So he says, another man said, well, I'm American, sure. Well, that's got nothing to do with it, not a thing. You're a Christian because you belong to another kingdom. That's right, and you're in another kingdom above. Now, when he's saying, before I go further, I just want to define that organism, because he said that, you know, he rejected organization, he don't reject organism. Now, organism is a living thing, a being, a creature, an animal, a plant, structure, life form, entity, a body. So a living thing, a being, that's us. So we're organisms, but God loves us, but he hates denominationalism. Praise God. He loves the individual, but he hates the denomination. Amen. Denominations draw lines. And anytime, even in the message, sometimes we see that same spirit that rises up in the messenger. We draw lines. Praise God. We don't fellowship with this group because of this. We don't fellowship with that group. God doesn't want it to be that way. We should be able to fellowship with one another. Praise the Lord. All right. He goes on in his message to Smyrnian church age. He says, now what did Samuel do? He says, just the same thing that God did here. Samuel called Israel together. He said, now listen to me. I want to ask you something. Has there ever been one time that I ever told you anything that wasn't true? He said, now I'm God's prophet among you. Tell me one time I ever told you anything in the name of the Lord that didn't come to pass. That's what Samuel said to them. He said, and hasn't God fed you and taken care of you and done all these things? Said, you're doing sin by trying to act like other nations. Oh, they said, he said, I want to ask you something else. Have I ever took any money away from you? My God. Now, you all have to realize, when Brother Branham is preaching this, he's putting himself in the scripture, right? Because there's people that's rejecting his ministry as well, just like they rejected, you know, Samuel's ministry. They're rejecting Brother Branham's ministry. You're like, have I ever taken money from you? Have I ever, you know, taken advantage of you? Have I charged for my prayers? And many of y'all been healed, but have I charged you any money for any of this? I ain't done none of that. Now, nowadays, you go to these big churches, they charge you for prayer. Praise the Lord. Catholic Church will charge you. The Catholic Church will pray your loved one out of purgatory, put them in purgatory or something. I mean, these things don't even exist. Right? But Brother Branham's ministry never did anything like that. Here's the other thing. I was sharing this with somebody recently, and I forget where it was, but Brother Branham one time was offered $1.5 million, had a check in his hand, name on the check, signed. And they said, you can have this as long as you just kind of change some of the things you're preaching. Now, The average preacher, the average preacher would not have been able to do what Brother Branham did. He took a $1.5 million check. At that time, that was that wasn't just a lot of money. That was, that almost felt like billionaire status. At that time, $1.5 million when your rent was $10, right? I mean, you know, but at that time, for him to just take the check and rip it up and say, no, I won't do that. I'll stay with the word of God. Right. Now, that tell you what, it take a man that's committed to the gospel to do something like that. I know many preachers that would have gave up their ministry over that $1.5 million. They would have retired. I feel like the Lord is calling me out of ministry. You don't feel, it ain't the Lord calling you out, it's that money that called you out. Right? But here, you know, hasn't God fed you and taken care of you and done all these things? You're doing sin by trying to act like the other nation. That said, I want to ask you something. Have I ever took any money away from you? Have I ever begged you for an offering? Lord have mercy. And we got churches out there with big, have a church, they have three or four offerings before the word comes. Three or four. Have I ever took any money away from you? Have I ever begged you for an offering? Or have I ever told you anything in the name of the Lord that didn't come to pass? They said, no, you never took our money. That's true. You never told us anything in the name of the Lord that didn't come to pass. He said, then hear me. You're sinning by trying to act like the rest of them, but they wanted a king anyhow. Regardless of whether it was right or wrong, they wanted to carry out their idea. And it says this, that's the same thing the church did right here at Ephesus. They taken the Nicolaitan doctrine, and when they did it, it pushed them right in to convert paganism and Christianity together, and has caused 1,500 years of dark ages. And when Luther pulled them out, if the second round of Lutherans didn't do the same thing they did back in Ephesus, exactly. Now, what he just did was kind of take us to the Ephesians church age, and I want to just read the scripture relating to this as we're seeing what happened in 1 Samuel 8 is actually very similar to what happened to the Gentile church in our day. Revelation chapter 2 is where I want to go. Revelation 2. The church of Ephesus. Verse 1 says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. Now, the way that they tried people in that day, if they didn't measure up with the word, then they called them liars. And not just the word, if they weren't saying the same thing Paul was saying. Because Paul made a statement, says, if an angel from heaven come and preach something other than what I preach to you, he said, let that angel be accursed. So Paul knew exactly where he stood. So they followed Paul, and even Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So they followed Paul, and they knew that if people weren't saying what Paul was saying, then they could, something ain't right about that. No, that ain't lining up. I don't care what type of manifestations y'all getting. If that thing don't line up with the word, I won't agree with it. And let me tell you something. We need to be the same way today. Don't you be fooled by nobody's manifestation. Don't you be fooled by nobody's gift. If that gift, the gift does not align itself with the word of God, then that's a lie. Praise God. Amen, church. Be assured that you can be anointed, get results, and be off the word at the same time. Let me say it again. You can be anointed, get results, and be off the word at the same time. Let me give you an example. Moses was told by God, speak to a rock. Moses was anointed. And you know what Moses did? He actually went and struck the rock. He got results, didn't he? He got water out the rock after he hit it twice. He got water out the rock. He got results. But God told them, you are not going to the promised land because you disobeyed my word. So you can be anointed, get results, and still be off the word. We're going to go deeper in this. This is why it's so important. Make sure people are lined up with scripture. Amen. Make sure if it does not line up with scripture, then take your stand on the word. Because heavens and earth will pass away, but this word will not pass away. Praise God. Let's go on a little further here. Verse 3, and has borne and has patience and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. And the way that they left their first love is they left the word. That was the first love. They left the word. It says, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So I wanted to catch a little section here in the Church Age book, this section called The Seed of Nicolaitanism. And we want to read this because Brother Branham is tying this to the same thing that happened here in 1 Samuel 8. When they rejected God as their leader, they told Samuel, you're getting old, your boys are not the same as you, and we want to be like the other nations. We want a king that can fight for us and do all these things. And even though he contested it, they say, we hear everything you're saying, but we still want a king. You know, nowadays people go off the word and don't realize that they're rejecting the word of God and go right on into the denominational ways, regardless of what the words say, right? They don't realize they're rejecting God the same way Israel rejected him when they asked for a king rather than being led by God. Here in Ephesian Church Age, page 92, paragraph 1, he says, what are these Nicolaitans? The word comes from two Greek words, nikeo, which means to conquer, and laos, which means the laity. In plain fact, somebody was doing something in that early church which was conquering the laity. If the laity were being conquered, then it must have been some authority there doing it. And we know laity has been conquered today. You'd be surprised at what happened in churches. You'd be surprised at what happened in churches. Lord have mercy. You all probably saw this little video that's been going viral. They wanted an offering for something. And you got to be careful what you let be live streamed. Because everything will just it'll go viral. And people are going to splice it and do all kind of stuff. But the instructions were, bring your 1,000 plus your 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000. But everybody bring that. And then you had to come and report, what you brought. And then some lady got up and said, I brought 1,000 plus 230. And pastor told her, you're not doing what I told you to do. Got rebuked in front of everybody. Not thank you for the $1,000. We really appreciate that. No, you ain't do what I told you to do. You're not following directions. And but church has become about getting the money. It's about getting the money. Oh, my. I mean, church, they put so much pressure on people. One of my neighbors one time told me that their pastor came up with this brilliant idea. He said, the very first paycheck that you get this year, give your very first paycheck to the Lord. The whole church agreed. And when everybody's bills are behind, mortgage is behind, car payments behind, where is the pastor? He got all the money because he got this brilliant idea. God ain't never said nothing like that in his word. Give your first paycheck to the Lord. He said give a tenth. Give a tithe of your first paycheck, not the whole paycheck. Praise the Lord. That ain't what God said in his word, right? So people be coming up with all kind of ideas and telling people that the Lord told me to tell you this. Remember Oral Roberts? He said, he told the people, I was talking to a 900-foot Jesus. Why would Jesus need to be 900 feet? Not the Jesus of the Bible. Not the Jesus you've been preaching. Why would, so that's supposed to scare us? That you talk with a 900-foot Jesus and he told me if y'all don't give me this money, he's going to take me off the earth. What scripture are you standing on, my brother? No scripture, right? But this is the type of stuff that happens in churches. Brother Branham's ministry never had any of that following it. Never had any of that. You'll never see any reports like that in his ministry. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you just like this. If God established something, God's going to take care of it. As long as we do it God's way, tithing and offering, God's going to take care of it. And when it's a building fund, we have a building fund. But God, those are only three ways that we give, through tithing, offering, and a building fund. That's it. And we can prove that by scripture. Anything outside of that, God's not obligated to do it. Amen. Here it is. It says, what was it that God hated that was happening in that church? What was going on then and is now going on today is exactly what the word Nicolaitan means. The people were being subjected somehow in a way that was absolutely contrary to the word of God. Now, to get the real meaning of what we're about to go into, it says, I must caution you to ever keep in mind that, and I want you to catch this statement, caution you to ever keep in mind that religion, and he uses the term spiritual matters if you like, religion is composed of two parts that intertwine but are as opposite as black and white. Religion is composed of two parts. And see, intertwine is something like this, right? Intertwine, but are as opposite as black and white. It goes on, he says, religion and the spiritual world are made of those two trees which had their roots in Eden. So what I want y'all to get from here is that sometimes you can be looking at somebody. They faithful in going to church. They read their Bible, they do a lot of things. They look like they got a real, real good relationship. But if they can't come to the fullness of